folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. I'm in the studio with Steve Signer.
Hi.
Steve is the, the president of the hospital?
Yes.
Or chairman?
Chairman and lodging council, yeah, whatever.
So he represents a lot of the most important business in Sedona. He's done a tremendous amount of good civic work for Sedona and trying to preserve our economic viability. Well, we have three people on Zoom. This is the first time we've tried doing a Zoom meeting. Klaus, are you there? Klaus? Sorry?
I am here.
Okay. And Klaus van Suderheim, and we have Holly Plug and Kathy Kinsella. Are you guys there?
Yes.
We're here.
Okay. I can't.
Good morning.
Good morning. I can't see you guys. I don't get the feeling whether you're there or not. So I guess let's start out with, and I wanted to ask a question before I give Steve a chance. And my question was really, this. A lot of the most controversial stuff going on now is not in the city of Sedona, where you guys, Kathy and Holly are counselors. It's right outside Sedona, or it's even further in the Verde Valley. So I wanted to know what your reaction was to projects in the Verde Valley, development projects in the Verde Valley beyond Sedona. And there's El Rojo Grande. I don't know if it's back in the works, but there's Auto Camp right out near Bear Mountain, just a mile from Sedona. There's Verde Connect, a road that would help improve the connection from I-17 and 260 up to 89A or a couple of other routes. And so that's controversial. So, Holly, there's all these controversial developmental projects being proposed in the Verde Valley. What's your response to that? What should Sedona's response be? Because it's not really in the city limits legally.
Even before they start, let me just say something. If you're not talking, put your phone on mute because otherwise you get crackle.
Yeah, we're getting some crackle. Holly, Kathy, you want to take the question?
Sure. Several weeks ago.
Go ahead. Let's do.
Several weeks ago, Auto Camp.
Go ahead.
Okay. Several weeks ago, Auto Camp came before the city council for comments. The county had asked the city, because of the proximity of Auto Camp to the city limits, to make some comments about the project that would be incorporated into their review and discussion when it comes before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And while we weren't on the council at that time, we were in the audience and listened to the neighbors who live in Bear Mountain or thereabouts, and they were unanimously opposed to the project for a lot of reasons, including safety, fire safety, and water. And so the council at that point expressed their reservations about the project, and the staff took those comments and prepared a response to the county. And it was interesting because the way it's being proposed, there's really not a lot of tax revenue that the county would see because the structures are not permanent structures, and so they don't generate the same tax revenue as if it was a housing project. So in the light of proximity to the city of Sedona, like El Rojo Grande and Auto Camp, the city is asked to weigh in to to planning and zoning and ultimately to the Board of Supervisors.
And so you do you,
and in
do
that
you,
respect, even though it's not...
Do you approve of that? Do you think the city should be proactive even with more distant things? For example, on Verde Connect, which I know that Klaus is very much opposed to, the Cottonwood City Council weighed in and being in favor of it. So what's your take on the in a more general question of the city's relationship to these developmental projects that'll affect the city but are not in the city? What should be the general approach to that?
This is Kathy, if I could weigh in on that. I believe that it's important to have a regional response on these types of issues. Now, something like Verde Connect has a more direct impact on Cottonwood and VOC more than it does Sedona, but certainly a regional response is important, especially when you are talking about Arroyo Grande and Auto Camp, because they would have a direct impact on Sedona in terms of traffic, in terms of commercial business use in the area, in terms of the amusements offered that people would want to be seeking. So I do think it's important, and there are avenues for the various government entities to speak to each other. There are meetings that do happen, and you know, you can always reach out and find out what are the assumed impacts on one municipality, your neighboring municipality. And it is important to know that and to look at things with a broad regional eye. We are one region. We, you know, the commercial center in many ways is down sort of on that, the 89A, 260 corridor, you know, down in Cottonwood area. A lot of the things that happen in our neighboring cities and towns affect Sedona, and a lot of what we do up here affects them. So I really do believe that regional coordination, communication, and response is called for.
All right. And Steve, do you have a question? Do you have something you want to ask them?
I agree with Kathy. I think city boundaries are imaginary boundaries. They're set up for political reasons, but in actuality, we all live in the Verde Valley, and everything affects everybody. When I came from California, these same problems were going on in Riverside County, where rural areas, they started to grow. Neighbors always complain and stop, want to stop it. And what you really need is a regional plan, and I think the Bear Mountain project is the prime example. There's no regional planning to protect the neighbors and the people who live out there. And what we really need is the county to sit down and do a master plan so that we aren't fighting issue by issue by issue by issue. Because we know that that's what's going to happen. There's always a number of people that don't want things to change, and there's people who want to come in and use state lands, buy property, build homes. And how do we balance those views? We need a general plan. And I think by the city of Sedona chipping in with ideas is important, because if something happens out at this trailer park they want to build out by Bear Mountain, on any given night, there's one or two sheriffs that drive around through the entire county. And I think you're going to find that the police department of Sedona is going to be called on a regular basis to put out problems that have there. You can't have 200 trailers and 200 campfires on a Saturday night and not have problems. So I think Sedona does need to have some input.
Yeah, it's 100 trailers, but I think the point is the same. Let me ask Holly. I think one of the issues you ran on was having Sedona move toward greater sustainability. What practical things do you think Sedona can do that will add to sustainability of the Verde Valley as well as Sedona?
That's a great question, Steve. And on January 12th, the council is going to, or the 13th, there's going to be hearing about the climate action plan is going to be presented. And the climate action plan is a result of a lot of citizen input, citizen surveys, and meetings that were held with the citizens of Sedona and the city of Sedona. And on that basis, there'll be priorities and recommendations that people have an opportunity to review and comment on. First off, I'll give you an example of something that just happened at the last council meeting, which was the lease purchase of three hybrid vehicles for the police department. So these would be the first hybrid vehicles that the city has purchased as part of that fleet. And there was a discussion about whether they should have been all electric, but right now it's a incremental movement towards sustainability by going from gas-powered vehicles to hybrid vehicles that are well-equipped to be police vehicles. The other issues is on Sedona property itself. You know, we can lead by example and make sure that, you know, we put charging stations at City Hall. They need to be at the new garage. They need to be at every property that's owned by the city and influenced by the city. So while that may not sustain the Verde Valley, it certainly sets an example of a government not only, you know, walking the walk, talking the talk, but walking the walk.
I hope
people will come out and be heavily involved in that meeting so that we can hear from the public on these sustainability measures that are going to be proposed.
When is the meeting again, Holly?
January 12th, I believe.
Okay, and people can come to the City Hall. It's now open. It's not just a Zoom meeting.
Correct.
Oh, that's right.
They can come to City Hall.
The other thing I was thinking of,
or
is,
they can.
This is Kathy. The meetings are happening in person at City Hall, and the public is always welcome to attend. Of course, in these times of COVID, we, you know, want to make alternatives available to everybody as well. Those alternatives are always available. But, you know, to keep any risk factors down, people are always welcome to reach out via email to the council. And there's on the city website, there is a mechanism that allows you to send one email that will go to all the council members and the mayor in one action. So that's a good way to get comments submitted on any item, whether it's, you know, the a particular agenda item or the climate action plan as a general idea, or if you want to urge the city to weigh in on other issues outside. Anything that is on people's minds, they can either come and register to speak in the public session live for 3 minutes in the meeting, or they can get those comments in via email, and it does go to all council members. And so, you know, Holly and I are brand new on the council, and our emails just went live the day that we were sworn in. And the minute that email address went live, there were already 345 emails sitting in my inbox.
Wow.
So I'm still sifting through some of those. I'm down to about 85 that are left to get through, but they do go, and I do know from just having observed the council and worked with the council before becoming a council member that everybody's very good about really reading all those emails. We do want to know what is on people's minds, and we urge them to use whatever mechanism they can to convey their thoughts, feelings, desires, ideas.
A complementary issue to sustainability is the fact that Sedona's neighborhoods are not connected to each other except by 89A. Particularly bad on the south side of 89A, a whole lot of neighborhoods are not connected to each other. So to get from one place to another, everyone has to get out on 89A and it causes congestion, slows traffic, increases pollution. There's no connectors between the neighborhoods. And even on the north side, there's no connection except 89A between West Sedona and Uptown Sedona. And there's a lack of bike and hiking path through the town so that people have an alternative to getting into cars. Holly, you want to comment on that? What's your take on it?
You know, before COVID hit, when Kathy and I were going door-to-door canvassing in February, we were in the neighborhood south of 89A, and it became really obvious, you know, to us as we were driving from one street to another street that was a parallel street that we couldn't, you know, you couldn't get there from here. And we constantly were going out to 89A and making a left turn, which was, you know, which is not as safe as if you were able to, you know, either walk or ride through a neighborhood. And it became really obvious what those issues were as we, you know, attempted to get from one street to another. And I have to say, honestly, I hadn't tried to do that before. And but some people object to having roads go through their neighborhoods or through their houses. So I think that we have to look at the balance, as Steve said earlier. It's always a balance between local, you know, community needs and the greater needs of Sedona. And so I think that there are opportunities to look for the ability to revisit those plans where it makes sense, and not everything that was on the docket probably needs to be there, but there certainly are some streets that need thoroughfares, you know, that need to have access to other streets.
So what about, Holly, if Holly, what about if you, even if you didn't put roads between all these neighborhoods that are all disconnected, and I understand there's opposition to it, to even to roads, even though roads, I think, would be very helpful and cut down pollution. What about hiking and walking paths between the neighborhoods so that people don't have to walk out all the way to 89A to go around, you know, across the block, or perhaps cut through somebody's property who might be a little territorial or something? So, Kathy, do you have a thought on that?
Sure. There are, you know, there are some social trails that do exist that aren't official and maybe are a little bit rougher, but there are some social trails in place on that side of 89A as well, and that's a good place to start looking. Holly was right before when she used the word balance. I think that when you bring forward something, an idea like connector roads, which was the term that was being used a lot, to put them all together in one fell swoop as sort of one plan doesn't make sense, because, you know, I know my little community that I live in, my immediate neighborhood, has a very different feel from the adjacent community. We would need to speak to both those communities that are involved about, you know, and private property owners to achieve the balance between what people want, because I do think that there is really probably an overwhelming majority of people who would like the safety and convenience of having connectors, you know, connections that bring them through without having to come out to 89A. But there are individual situations where they may or may not be appropriate. So communication is key, and I think breaking these proposals down, you know, into smaller groups or one by one is important to their success.
Steve,
the end goal, right, is to come up with something that is walkable, livable, reduces the cars on the road. We want to have people safe and be able to get from point A to point B without suffering through a lot of congestion or delays for emergency vehicles. So key to that is communication in some of these proposals to look at. So I think that's where probably I see things going.
So I'm going to ask Steve to comment on this issue as a business person over on your business's office 179.
Holly and Kathy, I kind of agree, but then I disagree a little bit. I take a little different view. Sedona City Council people are voted at large, not to represent an area, but to represent the entire community. And in the past, and I say in the past, the city council has reacted too much, I think, to naysayers or two or three people or three or four people that write letters as opposed to the entire community. I think we do need an overall encompassing community plan that has walkways, connector roads, bike paths, and the city needs to put it together, do the study. And then I think it's up to the city council to just pass it. I think this idea of having one or two people that want to be on a cul-de-sac and they never want to have a street go by them, or they don't. I saw all kinds of letters of people complaining about the bike paths through their neighborhoods. I don't like this idea of neighborhoods. I think that we're Sedona. And I think this idea that my little area and its own little feel can't be changed, we have to get past that. When Sedona was built years ago, there was no general plan. So everybody who built, they just built their little 20 homes and they didn't connect them to the next street over. That needs to be fixed for safety reasons and so that people can go north and south, east and west without having to get on 89A. And I think that means that the city council has to start taking stronger stands.
Kathy, do you have a comment on that? Having lived here since 2003, the amount of traffic on 89A has been a massive increase, and you actually have to wait at traffic lights. The town is, I think, as Steve said, is that the whole town was not planned, and it's sort of like those little shopping centers where there's two stores you want to go to, and one of them is one shopping center and one of them is in the other, and you have to go back out on the highway and go all the way around to get to the second store. So Kathy, comments, ideas?
Yeah, I do have comments. I do think that the end goal is shared, and I'm not disagreeing with what Steve Segner said about, you know, that we need to have, you know, the end goal is for everybody's safety and everybody's, you know, the ease of the congestion. But I think the way to go there is, again, by that communication. If I don't live in a certain area, and I do think that, yes, we are all one Sedona, but we are neighborhoods. It's almost like if you look at bigger cities, you know, Los Angeles, if you look at New York City, there's still collections of neighborhoods. Neighborhoods have characters. Neighborhoods have a sense of place and community. And I don't want to disregard that. I think it's really important for that, as I said before, for that communication. Because if I don't know, as a council member looking at a whole plan, I need to know what factors maybe only a community member knows. And I take that into consideration. It may or may not end up affecting a vote, but it needs to certainly be considered. I can't predict that without that information. To me, that's an important part of it. Now, 89A, to Steve Williams's point, yes, I believe that the commercial businesses need to have, there needs to be a better job of connecting those through so that you, if you're going from, just to, not to plug any business, but just to give an example, if you're going from Walgreens to, you know, Natural Grocer, you know, locals know the back way to get there. You know, or up to Picasso's, you know, from Starbucks or something. You know how to get there behind using parking lots. The connections need to be more apparent and more official as connections, for lack of a better word, you know, so that people aren't being pushed back out on 89A. And as Holly said early, those left-hand turns, you know, are a big problem. They cause delays. Accidents are usually, you know, can often be related to left-hand turns. You want to try to reduce those points of conflict. And I think the way to do that, again, is through those connections. And I think there's a big opportunity. A lot of those commercial entities along 89A do connect, or there's a small little wall. I'm thinking of, you know, when you want to go to a farmer's market and then maybe go to a movie at Harkins or something, you can't get from one to the other because of a little wall that's in the way, right? If you can get through there, that would ease some of the strain on 89A. So I think there are opportunities there. But again, I firmly believe that when we're talking about projects, whether it's a connector road, whether it's a drainage improvement, whether it's a construction, a new development, I believe that stakeholders, which include the community members, immediate community members, need to be brought to the table to understand the proposals before they're pushed through.
What I see with all of you, with Steve and Kathy and Holly, our new city council people, first, congratulations on your election. I know that you were elected quite a long time ago compared to when you're actually taking office, which was, what, last week?
Right.
Lurking behind all of this discussion is every proposal that the city makes generates opposition. NIMBY opposition, ideological opposition, feelings. I don't want any more people in Sedona. And, you know, I mean, Sedona is limited in its space, so that doesn't seem to be realistic. But how do you deal with the fact that almost anything the city council that you guys are going to be facing on the city council is going to have vociferous opposition from somebody, and the people in favor of it a lot of times are a lot quieter, Steve, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're going to always have 100 people that come out against everything. But I think the key is the city council has to understand there's 9,000 other people that are quiet, which is a vote in itself. And you have 10,000 people that also work in Sedona that come from Camp Verde and other areas. So there's a constituency that's much, much larger in many cases than the 10 people who come to the council meeting that has tended to be listened to in the past. So all I'm trying to say is, yes, we need to talk and listen, but we also need to listen to the people that aren't speaking.
Holly, let's start with you then. How do you finesse this, or how do you deal with this kind of conflict that is going to come up, right? I think we all agree there are going to be these conflicts as the city council begins to do projects.
Well, I absolutely agree with that, but, you know, at the same time, I'll give you an example of something that occurred last week, which was the pool, the community pool, which, you know, is a very hot topic. And there were several people who were at council to testify, and they represented, you know, a larger group. They came with the suggestion that a brainstorming session be held. They came with the suggestion that there were ways to satisfy everybody if we, you know, started talking and thinking about it, and they wanted to present ideas. That wasn't the appropriate forum, you know, at the council meeting, but they weren't, you know, they are very passionate, but they weren't, their minds weren't closed. They said, let's talk about this. Let's look at this. Let's share our, you know, perspectives and views. So I think that there's more people wanting to look for solutions if we seek them out. Mm-hmm. And they happen to come on their own, but I do think that, you know, it's up to us to also seek to hear from all sides. And, yes, I agree that we have a lot of people who are negative, and a lot of people who are loud, you know, whose voices potentially shut out other people. However, I think it's up to us to hear the facts from all sides, and then we make the decisions. But I wouldn't want to make a decision without encouraging, you know, the various perspectives, because I do think that we have, you know, a lot more in common than we have that separates us. And to that end, you know, there's a community survey that was just closed out on November 11th, which asked a lot of questions about the community. And I hope that a lot of people did respond to the survey. It was, you know, it's random, but statistically valid, and the council is set to have a retreat in the early part of February to go through council priorities and to use the input from the survey to help set direction for the city. So I don't think hearing from our constituents is a bad thing, and I don't think that it always means that some voices aren't heard if we attempt to bring those voices in.
So, Kathy, how do we deal with the conflicts that are going to occur? The fact is, the more the council tries to do things, the more proactive it is, the more it tries to solve Sedona's issues and problems with traffic and everything else, the more conflicts that's going to generate. So how would you deal with the conflict and the different points of view?
Well, I think different points of view are essential to fully vetting any topic, no matter whether it's a connection or the pool or anything. I mean, that's the point of having a public forum in which these items are discussed, and having, sessions in which the public can voice an opinion and ways that they can bring forth. There's the old saying that you don't know what you don't know, and if you don't present an opportunity to hear other side, you can't factor that into your decision. So I think that saying that disagreement is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you don't want it to get in the way of, stonewalling projects of progress, but you need to hear from people before you can move forward. Otherwise, you'll end up with unintended consequences. You need to understand what potential impacts could be and bring it into way as part of your decision. As I said, it doesn't stop anything. But, we've all heard our Mayor Sandy, one of her favorite quotes is when she says, government moves at the pace of a narcoleptic snail, right? We've all heard her say that. And it's a great quote, but to some degree it's true. It's not really that slow, but the point is for things to move in a way that do allow for public opinion. Yes, we're elected in order to represent the best movement forward for the community. And I don't know what that movement is until I feel that I have the information from the various people who will be impacted. So to me, again, that communication, those public forums, public notification of things that are happening are big issues, and I think are the big picture issues to get us to the best decision.
I think that people have to understand that government by necessity has to move slower than the private sector, because it has to have all this input. It has to have even a different bidding process for projects and stuff. Government is mm-hmm. It has to be much more careful and much more consultative in everything it does. It does slow it down. And I know that people are frustrated with the traffic in Sedona. And I feel the improvements when I go to the Sedona Arts Center, because having that roundabout on the north side of town is amazingly makes it better, because before that was there, I used to pull out of the center and turn left. And I did some driving in New York City, so I just pulled out in front of people and got in their way. But sometimes I'd be behind somebody that was really polite pulling out of the center, and I would wait there a very, very long time. So there have been improvements, but people, I know that what I hear is still impatience with the traffic.
One of the things I think that's interesting, 4 years ago I was on several committees in town, and we talked about getting people coming up from Phoenix to come in through Cottonwood and take the pressure off of 179. And then all of a sudden, with this new law that got passed on overnight housing and Airbnbs, all of a sudden our traffic now is on Cook's Hill coming in from the west. So it just shows you in 3 years all the planning and all the talking we did just got totally turned around, because at 3 and 4 in the afternoon now, those people are coming down, and they're coming in from West Sedona. So we really do need some connector roads. And what do you both feel about the connecting road from Forest, from uptown, connecting on 89A as a way of releasing some of that pressure? And are there any other things we can do to release some of that pressure?
Kathy, you want to go first?
I think that the Forest Road connection there that will come out onto 89A behind the post office area is important for safety reasons. There needs to be an alternate route by which you can get emergency vehicles through, or if something is closed off, that you can route traffic around. I think it's an important way to get around basically the clog that happens at the Y. So I think it was a good idea. I know that it was Councilmember Kervin who came forth with that idea, and I think it was the right idea. And I know that it may have inconvenienced some people, and I feel for them with that, but I do think that it was the right idea for that to go through, and I look forward to it being open and usable.
Holly?
I agree. I support the Forest Road extension, particularly as a way out of town for people in Uptown, you know, as an alternative to going down the Y. And I don't have any other ideas about that in my mind, but I'd certainly be open to hearing them from you, Steve, or from residents of Sedona. But I do think that was an important decision that the council made.
I feel sorry for people because I'm coming up from Uptown to heading for West Sedona at 4:30 in the afternoon. And I really feel sorry for people for the traffic is backed all the way up that hill. And it's going into a situation where you're not going to feel like you're keeping moving very well. I think psychologically, if people see something happening, they'd get less disturbed. But I do kind of feel sorry for those people. I do see those huge lines at least twice a week. Kathy, did you have something else to say?
Yeah, I also wanted to say that I think the new OMB Way that comes off of that northern traffic circle at the end of town before you get into the canyon there, I think that that also is going to be a big help. I was just up there last night and a couple of nights ago as well and took that road just to sort of, you know, check it out. And it's good to have a way for people who are coming down from Flagstaff area, maybe they're returning home. It's going to help move traffic along on that congestion heading south into Sedona for people who live in Uptown. They will be able to take that road and get where they're going. Or even if you're going to West Sedona, you can go around the commercial corridor that way by, you know, OMB, Jordan, you know, down Forest. There will be a connection there. I think you can't look at Forest without also looking at O&D, and I think that that is also good for directing people right to parking areas.
Yep.
So I think that these are two big improvements, especially together, that are going to help give some relief in that area uptown.
I agree. I think that just needs better signing at some point to let people know that that's a shortcut to parking for Uptown. I took it just the first time the other day because I got backed up, and it's a great road. We just all got to start using it. But if you're new to the town, we need better signing, and I'm sure the city will do that. One thing I'd like to bring up as a pet project, since I have both of you online, is you know that I've always worked about walking Sedona. Years ago, I was told and saw nobody ever walked from Tlacopaque to Uptown. It was just too far. So I put together a project where we put the history walk, and I said people will walk 10 feet to another sign, then 10 feet to another sign, then 10 feet to another sign, and all of a sudden we have people walking back and forth now. What I'd like to see happen down the line is a couple bump outs on that 89A that people could actually take some time, get off the road a little bit, and have some vistas and views. And so a little more effort on walking Sedona, because everybody that's walking is a car that we're not driving.
That was a wonderful project that you did, Steve. And of course, Steve is a private individual with the permission of the city and support of the city, Chamber of Commerce and so forth, put all these signs there. And it worked wonderfully because when I go by, there's always somebody stopped reading the signs and looking out at the beautiful vistas of the rim of the plateau and some of our most famous rock formations. So that worked really well. I wish we could come up with more things like that to get people out walking. What's your guys' take on it? Do you have any ideas what we could do to get people walking rather than driving everywhere?
Well, this is Kathy again. One of the things that I'd like to see is some more residential development in the commercial corridor as well, or close to the commercial corridor, so that people can, instead of already living, you know, a quarter mile up the hill and not wanting to go to the grocery store because they know they're going to have to walk up that hill with their packages on the way home. You know, if there's living closer down to the commercial corridor, I think that in itself encourages walking. I chose my home in part because of its proximity to 89A and the walkability that provided. I, you know, do a lot of walking to the movie theater, to the store, you know, and it makes a big difference. So a lot of it has to do with effective community planning. And I think it was Steve Segner earlier who said that, yes, when Sedona was first starting to be developed, there wasn't thought to that. That wasn't in the culture at that time to think about what the growth might be and what the connectivity would be. But it is something that is in the mind of Sedona now, and I think that planning and community development is an important factor. We have to always keep that walkability in mind.
I think even in the middle of COVID, certainly on Dry Creek Road out near where I live, hundreds of cars parked on the road, people walking off the road, people walking on the road. It's a kind of dangerous situation, and I know that Sedona city limits extend some way out there, not the whole way. And the impression I get, frankly, is that I think what we all know, well, we've only got 2 minutes left, is that we're just going to get more and more visitors, more and more tourists. Steve, we got a last thought.
Kathy brought up a subject that needs to be talked about, which is density. You know, we're going to have to start talking density. We're going to have to start talking about multiple housing and duplexes. And I think a prime example is the first half mile from the light on Soldiers Pass Road. Both sides are owned by the city, and it's a prime place that we could put in housing, workforce housing, or some a little more density along there, right below the park. There's other areas that we can look at, but we're going to have to start identifying areas that we can allow more density.
I want to thank you both for being with us, Holly Plouk and Kathy Kinsella. We really wish you good luck on the city council. I hope you folks will bear with us. This is the first time we've done a Zoom version of the show. With COVID, we really can't have a lot of people in the studio anymore. And when people are in the studio, things just go very, very much more smoother. But we simply can't do that. We have to work with some of these new technologies, or I don't know how new Zoom is at this point, but we have to do that. And so there's some overlap of people talking on top of people that we just can't see each other. So we don't know a lot of times who's going to be talking. How much time do we have left, Tom? We got to wrap it up, folks. Hope you'll be with us next week. We have a great show on Iran by Paul Linz. He's a professor up at NAU. All our shows, since the time we started, are on our website, vvid.org. Visit us. Listen to some of those old programs.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.